Okay, so first of all, today's shiur is sponsored by our friend Beryl Eckstein. I'm in memory of his brother, the well-known Rav Yechiel Eckstein, Rav Yechiel Tzvi ben HaRav Shimon Aryeh. The shiur is going to be about following the majority, which I think is not such a good topic for Rav Yechiel Eckstein. I think that our community benefited by his being an iconoclast. And I don't know if they still have one. If you did fly into Israel, right, he would greet you like it was his picture. I don't know if he's
Still
still
there,
there.
still there.
Okay, I wouldn't
So they
know.
will.
But anyway, he was a special man, and it's a chus to learn in his memory.
Thank you.
Okay, as I said, the shir is on a pasuk in this week's parsha. The pasuk says, Acharei rabim lahatot. It doesn't have a context, so it's hard to know. And this big discussion about what does it mean that we're supposed to follow the majority? So just, some thoughts to introduce, and then we'll deal with some of them, if not all of them. There are many cases in which you can talk about majorities. The simplest one is what's called ruba de'isa kaman in halacha. It means you have a thing in front of you, have a plate in front of you, and there are 10 pieces of meat on it, and you know that 9 of them are kosher and 1 of them is treif. Okay, so there's such a thing called a rove that can allow you to eat that meat. There's another kind of rove, which is called a ruba de'lesa kaman, which is just, we know this generally, like the Gemara will say in discussing paternity cases. So the Gemara will say, rove nashim yoldos letisha, to assume that a child that's born was born 9 months after it was conceived. There are exceptions to it. There's every reason to believe that an animal that looks healthy is not a trefa. There are exceptions to it. But, we lead our lives based on factual assumptions that we have. And that's another type of rove in halacha. But then there's the rove that I want to spend most of our time talking about today, which is inherent in halacha. And that is, how do we decide chayav or patur, asur or mutar, tameh or tahar? And the answer is based on rov. Certainly in a bezdin context, right? If there's a three-person bezdin, so how do you know that two people carry the day? Well, that's a din of rov. We also generally have this idea in halacha. For example, everybody knows the rule is Yachid v'rabim, halacha kirabim, right? Many people, if the chachamim of machlok is with Rabbi Yehuda, so we're going to pass them like chachamim because they're the many. There are exceptions to these things, but that's the general rule. And the question I really want to ask is this a rule in Bezdin, or is this a real halacha? Meaning, are we bound? Is it a rule that in Bezdin majority rules, or is it a rule for life? Is it the case in every area of a halachic dispute that we're going to say acharei rabim lahatot, that the halacha is always going to go like the majority? Finally, it sounds like within Bezdin it's kind of a procedural rule that in an area of doubt we'll follow the majority. But hopefully at the end today, I want to talk about the possibility that it's not procedural, but it's substantive. That the majority, it's not just a way of being machria safek, but what the majority says is the halacha, even if it's wrong. It's right, even if it's wrong. If you're with me, this is, I'll just say as an aside, because it's an interesting idea. This is something that Rav Moshe Feinstein, in his introduction to Igros Moshe, it's a very beautiful introduction. Everybody should read it now because they're going to edit it out at some point because it's way too open-minded. Rav Moshe Feinstein asks, who am I to decide what halacha is? And he says, here's the rule. If you've looked at all the sources and you really, really believe that you're trying your hardest to intuit what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted and you didn't make a mistake, right? So let's say an example. You looked at every source that might tell you whether a Shabbos clock is mutter or not. Okay, this is the first time. There never was such a thing before, a timer. So if Moshe Feinstein says, if you've done everything right and you didn't make a mistake, when you paskin, you're right, even if you're wrong. Because that's how the system of halacha is set up. Just interesting, Rav Asher, in the introduction to Minchas Asher, says, I don't want to be right because I'm paskening that way. I want to be right because in Shamayim, they agree with me. Okay, but either way, those are two approaches. So at the end, I want to get to this idea of being right, even if you're wrong, because the system makes you right.
Okay, Ellie, can you clarify your second question? Are you talking about those places like Nimnu Vigomru and Aliyah's Rabbi Yochanan or whatever in those situations?
No, I'm trying to be broader than that. I'm trying to talk about a situation in which 50 poskim sent something out saying that smartphones are usur. Okay, now do you need 51 other poskim to paskin that, or is that just a silly question? I'm talking about something broader than that. Is that how we determine? Here, good example. I'm getting pulled off the topic, but so what? I don't know if anybody's discussing this in America. In Israel, there's a big discussion about laning this Shabbos. If you only have one, if you're in a backyard minion, you only have one Sefer Torah. Why? Because what you're going to have to do if you have one Sefer Torah is read Mishpatim, then roll to Pinchas to read Rosh Chodesh, which means you're rolling past Kisisa, which is where Shkolim is found. So there's a few things going on. One, in theory, Ein Ma'avir in Ala Mitzvos, you're passing the next laning. Two, Tircha de Tzibura, because it would save a lot of the Kitisa, did Shkolim second, and then continued rolling to Pinchas and did Pinchas third. Okay? And people come out on either side. Rav Asher says, definitely not. You have to read the way we normally would. But plenty of other poskim say, listen, you're outside, it's cold, whatever, it'll save time. You could do it out of order. So halacha lemaisa, do I have to start counting heads? Is that how we determine halacha? Or I have my posek? That's the one I was thinking of, Jackie. But let's try to start, at least, so we could have some sources. Let's see which one it is. All right, here we go. The pasuk says, and it's a really hard pasuk to parse in this week's parsha. It's one of these pasukim where the words are easy to translate, but it's hard to know what it means. Lo tihiya achare rabim lira'ot. You should not follow the majority for evil. Velo ta'ne al rivlin tor, and you shouldn't get involved in an argument. Rather, achare rabim lahatot. You should follow the majority. I guess the sense is there's all kinds of limudim in the Gemara on this. You know, drashos about you need two more judges to find the guy guilty than to acquit, all kinds of drashos. But we'll just focus on achare rabim lahatot, you should follow the majority. Which in source number two, the Gemara in Chulin says as follows, Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, Minahani milsa da amur rabbanan zil basa ruba. How do you know what's the source for Chachamim saying you should follow the majority? Dichsiv ar pasuk acharei rabim lahatov. You should follow the majority. Now, to be clear, the Gemara in Chulin, it's not the context is unclear. It doesn't say it's talking about a court case. It doesn't say it's talking about psak halacha. It doesn't say it's talking about a plate with ten pieces of meat. It doesn't say it's talking about women. It doesn't say anything. But we know we have some kind of din that says you can or you should follow the majority. So it's the Rambam who makes it into an imperative, and it's the Rambam who counts it as one of the Taryag mitzvos. Source number three says the Rambam, a mitzvah kuf ayin hey 175, he shet siva lintot acharei rabim. Okay, we're commanded to follow the majority. In what case? So the Rambam tells you. Kishet tipol machloket bein hachachamim bidin midinei haTorah kulam. The Rambam says, it is a mitzvah de oraisa to follow the majority when there is a machloket between the chachamim with respect to one of the Dinei HaTorah. Now, you could argue that that's only in a Beis Din context. But you could argue more broadly. Let's keep reading. V'chein nimshach v'nita b'din pirtei gamken b'din Ruvein v'Shimon derech mashal k'shetipol ha-machloket b'in dayanei iram im Shimon u'chayav al Ruvein. Right here, I guess it's not a Beis Din. I don't know, the whole town? It's hard to know. There's a fight between Ruvein and Shimon. So the Rambam says, how do you, and the Dayanim disagree. So the Rambam says, the answer is, you follow the majority. Nimshoch achar harov. So let's say that till now, what we're sure of is that the Rambam says, in a court case, we're always going to follow the majority of judges. And he finishes it then by saying, you know, Ruba de Oraisa, the concept of Rov is Min HaTorah. The Rambam obviously paskins this way as well. In Hilchos Sanhedrin, in source number 4, Parakhet Halacha Aleph, the Rambam says, Beis Din Shenechleku, if there's a Beis Din that has a split decision, Miktsasam Omrim Zakai, Umiktsasam Omrim Chayav. Right, those are the two choices. Some say chayav, some say potur. Holchin achar harov. Right, you have to follow the majority. Now that would be great. Okay, it makes common sense. It helps us move the case along. But the Rambam goes out of his way to say, "Vizo mitzvat asei shel Torah." It's not just a procedural, and maybe a procedural rule, but the rule itself is a mitzvah. Shenemar ar pasuk acharei rabim lahatot. So interesting. It's not just that there is a concept of following the majority and that it's sourced in the Torah. According to the Rambam, following the majority, at least in a court case, is not just, you know, the way to resolve a suffix. It's a mitzvah satorah. The mitzvah of acharei rabim lahatot means that you have to follow the majority. Now, it's interesting in its own self, but it's interesting when you think about how seriously, you know, we may or may not have to take it. What if I want to be machmir? Oh, I guess the first question is it just a din in Beis Din that when Beis Din judges, you know, they go into a room and they disagree, and the judges in the room say, listen, the majority wins. That's a mitzvah satorah. That's achrei rabim lahatos. That's one possibility. And then the mitzvah is on Beis Din. The other possibility is no. It's a mitzvah on the litigants that they have to obey and observe the majority decision. And even if, let's say, you know, one guy is saintly and he says, you know what? You found me innocent, but I feel bad, so I'm going to give money to the other guy anyway. Could that be a problem? Because he's rejecting the majority decision, and we're supposed to accept the majority decision as being absolutely final, because the majority accepting majority decision is a mitzvah satorah. And to reject the majority, I don't know, is to reject the mitzvah satorah. Could that be? So let's leave that on the table and move on to one of the great Sefer Achinos. There's a lot of words, but there's really three separate points that the Sefer Achinos is going to make here. And let's do each of them, because they'll contribute to our understanding of this issue. The first question we should ask ourselves is, and maybe Jackie hinted at it at the beginning, is it really the case that you have to poll people and the majority decision binds us? And could it be that we all on the Zoom, we all get together and we decide that tomorrow's laning should really be, you know, Mishpatim, Kitisa, and then Rosh Chodesh? And who cares what Rav Asher Weiss says? Because he's one person and we are, I didn't look, but we're more than one person. So it doesn't seem possible. It doesn't seem possible that the Torah system of halacha would give us an equal vote with people who obviously know much more than us. So that's the first point the Chinuch is going to deal with. The Chinuch, of course, lists this as a mitzvah satorah. He follows the Rambam's count, but he says the following, number five, right where the cursor is. Ubichirat rov zeh lefi hadoma. The chinuch says, I don't have any sources for this, but it seems logical to me that the majority that we're talking about, hu b'sheshnei hakitot hacholkot yodaot b'chochmat ha-Torah b'shaveh. Now, there's a machlokes between poskim, more or less on the same level. She'ein lomar shekat chachamim muetet lo tachri akat burim merubeh va'afilu kiyotze Mitzrayim. Says the chinuch, it can't be that a small group of Talmidei Chachamim won't beat out 600,000 Amoratsim. Right? That can't be. He said, just doesn't make any sense. Aval, behashvayat ha-chachma, when more or less the two groups are of equal size, it's Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, o bekarov, they're close to, hodiatanu ha-Torah, sheribuy ha-deyot yaskimu la-olam el ha-emet, yoter min ha-miyut. The Chinuch says it's a logical position. If you have two groups of people who are more or less of equal knowledge, there's a reason to assume that the majority will get it right more often than the minority. Right? It doesn't really sound like a mitzvah satorah. It sounds like a common sense rule that you hope will more often than not achieve the truth. But now he goes on. And he says, and here's better. He says, "Ubein sheyaskimu lo emet o lo yaskimu lefidat hashomea." And whether they sound convincing or not, hadin notein shelo nasur miderech harov. The halacha is, you have to follow the majority. Umasha niomer harov lo olam hu bishishne akitot hacholkot shavot b'chachmat ha'emet. And that which I say, equal in knowledge, ki kein ne'amar b'chol makom chutz min ha-Sanhedrin. He says that's the truth in all places other than the Sanhedrin. In the Sanhedrin, everybody gets an equal vote, presumably because they're all Talmidei Chachamim. But he says, other than that, yeah, it makes sense that majority rules when there's some form of equality of knowledge. But if there's no equality of knowledge, again, for the chinuch, it's kind of a utilitarian mitzvah. It's a system that's set up to yield the truth as much as possible. So the chinuch says the general rule is, if you have two groups of equal knowledge, it seems to make the most, it seems most likely that the group with the most people is most likely correct. But of course, if they're not of equal knowledge, then it doesn't make any sense to apply that rule. Because for the chinuch, the rule is to get to the correct result. There is a correct result, and majority rules is most likely to get you to the correct result. Okay? So that's a classic chinuch in that he doesn't really have any sources, but he has common sense on his side, and therefore he says, you know, it must be the din. That's the first point in the chinuch. The second point is even better. And again, it's classic Sefer HaChinuch, sort of just raising such a common sense issue that I think most of us never thought of. And here it comes. Second paragraph. Mishar she mitzvah zo. What's the rationale for this mitzvah of following the majority? So he says, Mishar she mitzvah zo, she nitztavinu b'ze lechazek kiyum datenu. This is not just one of a bunch of mitzvos. This is a mitzvah that's a foundation of our religion. Why? Listen to this. She'ilu nitztavinu kaimu ha-Torah ka'asher tuchlu lahasig kavanat amitata. Each of us is commanded to worship God and keep the Torah as much as we understand it. Okay, meaning, you know, we're supposed to look in the sources, and we should follow what we genuinely believe is God's will. So what happens then? Says the chinuch, the obvious. Kol echad ve'echad mi'Yisrael yomar, da'ati notenet, she'amitat inyan ploni kenhu. Each person would say, I've looked at the sources, it strikes me that this is the order of laning this Shabbos. It strikes me that, you know, this year in Yerushalayim, they should read Megillah on Sunday, because that's really the day that Purim should. It strikes me all these things. And the Chinuch then goes ahead and says, if that were the rule, va'afilu kol ha'olam yamu behefcha, everybody says, you know, you're wrong. Lo yihiyeh lo rishut la'asot ha'inyan behefcha emet lefi dato. He wouldn't have permission to listen to everybody else, because he read the pasuk and he genuinely believes that his pshat in the pasuk is what God meant. What happens then? Says the Chinuch, there's a tragedy. V'yeitze mizeh churban, literally, the destruction. Sheta'aseh ha'torah kekama torot. There wouldn't be one Torah. Ki kol achad yadin kefi aniyut da'ato. He said everybody would, it's not that they would, they'd have to follow their own opinion. Aval achshav shebefeirosh nitztavinu lekabel ba'da'at rov ha'chachamim. But says the Chinuch, now that there's a mitzvah ha'torah that says you are commanded to follow the majority, the result is going to be one Torah. The result is going to be that our religion is not going to fracture, because one of the rules of our religion is that it doesn't matter what you think. What matters is what the majority of, the majority of Talmidei Chachamim think. Okay? So again, it's very practical. Says the Chinuch, if it wasn't for the din of Acharei Rabim Lahatos, we would have no choice but to follow the halacha as we understood it. We'd have no choice but to follow the Torah as we understood it. And let's face it, you know, we understand things differently. And so the Chinuch says, forget psak halacha. For the religion, for Judaism to survive as a religion, we need the din of Acharei Rabim Lahatot, because otherwise we would just fall apart. Okay, that's the second point. The third one is the following. V'noheget b'chol makom v'chol zman b'zecharim u'nekevot. The mitzvah applies to zecharim, men and women. V'over aleh v'lo nata achareihem. A person who doesn't follow the majority, b'tel aseh. Okay, that's the easy part. V'onsho gadol ma'od, his punishment is very great. Why? Shehu ha'amud shehatorah nismechet bo. Because this mitzvah isn't just its own mitzvah, it's the foundation of halacha. Without this mitzvah, everybody would do what they wanted. But what the Chinuch makes absolutely clear is, we suggested at the beginning, perhaps within the Rambam, that the din of Acharei Rabim Lahatot, following the majority, is a din in Bezdin. And the Chinuch makes clear, it's not just a din in Bezdin. It is a din in the religion. It's a din in Kol HaTorah Kula. It's how we determine halacha, and it's how we're allowed or obligated, each of us, to follow the halacha, even if we disagree. Now, the question that's raised by this has to do with chumros. And I don't want to get into it too much, but I want to raise what is at least a theoretical problem, and maybe even worse. And that is, let's take an easy example for you. Okay. The RCBC, you know, is the governing, you know, kashrus body in Bergen County. And obviously, not just that, but the overwhelming majority, you know, by number, right? Almost every rabbi in Bergen County is part of the RCBC. What happens when the RCBC gives a hechsher for something, but you don't want to accept it? Is that a rejection of Acharei Rabim Lahatot? Is that an Isser De'oraisa? Is your, you know, your frumkeit, when you say, I understand that they think it's okay, but they're relying on some heter, and I reject that heter. I want to I want to at least put on the table the possibility that before you take on a public chumrah against the majority, you need to take into account the possibility that it's against the mitzvah satorah of acharei rabim lahatot. Yes.
Isn't there also, you have to listen to the chachamim, there's a separate din? So, like, you're using the majority, but you're extracting the chiyuv of following the shofet, the melech, the chachamim of your generation.
Yeah, and I don't think they're inconsistent. Meaning, I would say the same thing, that, you know, if the RCBC is matir something, it might be a problem for any rabbi to get up and publicly oppose it. Right? That's, I'm suggesting, or I'm raising the possibility that that might be a problem of acharei rabim lahatot. And, you know, when you couple that with the Sefer Achinuch, it turns out that being divisive is problematic halachically. Right? The Sefer Achinuch says, and obviously we have tons of different shitos in halacha, and maybe the Sefer Achinuch is not accepted lahalacha. But let's face it, it's much easier to live someplace, and I assume it's still the same. You know, when I lived in Teaneck, if the RCBC gave Ashkacha, everybody ate. I wasn't aware then, I'm not aware now that there's anybody who disagrees with them. But all I'm saying is, if you did, you need to think in halachic terms about acharei rabim lahatot, and it seems within the chinuch for sure that there's some kind of preference for unity of halacha. Now, again, I know that everything is subject to a machlokas. All I'm saying is there's a value out there that, you know, we should take into account. Okay, so far so good. Excellent. Let's move along. It leads to a point that's interesting, but I want to take a few minutes to make you aware. I assume most of you are. The Rambam wrote his Sefer HaMitzvos, right? It's the most famous. It has the Shorashim, like the 14 principles by which the Rambam figured out how you got to 613. Then it has Mitzvot Aseh, of which there are 248. Then it has another book, Mitzvot Lo Taseh, of which there are 365. The Rambam at the end of the Mitzvot Aseh has kind of a long footnote in which he tries to categorize the mitzvos. He doesn't do that in a Sefer HaMitzvos. He just gives you the list. But at the end, he says there are a whole bunch of different mitzvos, and they fall into different categories. And it just, let's look at it together for a minute, and then we'll come to the real point. Okay, look in source number 6. This doesn't start from the beginning, but the Rambam says, Ukishetistakel kol elu. It's really worth reading this on your own, because it's great stuff. He says, Ukishetistakel kol elu hamitzvot shekadam zichram. If you look at all the mitzvot that I mentioned already, the 248, hine timtza mehem mitzvot shehem chova ala tzibur. Ram says the first category are mitzvot that don't apply to each of us individually. They're communal obligations. Lo lechol ish v'ish, kigon binyan beit habechira v'hakamat melech v'hachratat zaro shel amalek. Right? He says, I don't have a mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash. The Jewish people do. I don't have a mitzvah of wiping out Amalek. The Jewish people do. I'm part of the Jewish people, but it's not an individual mitzvah. Next, umehem mitzvot shehem chova la'ish miyuchad. Then there are mitzvos that are conditional. They don't apply to each person. They apply to a person if. Kigon, kimo, karban shogeg, v'karban mezid. Right, karbanos. If you happen to put a light on by accident on Shabbos, you have to bring a karban chatas. If you don't, you don't. Upe'amim, says the Rambam, ya'amod echad min ha'anashim kol yimei chayav, v'lo ya'aseh ha'pe'ula ha'hi, v'lo yimtzu ha'inyon ahu. A person doesn't have a porch outside of his house, so he's never chayav in the mitzvah of makah. He's never chayav in the mitzvah of putting up a fence around his porch. The Rambam said nothing wrong with that. It's a category of mitzvahs that are contingent. Next category. Ume'elu ha'mitzvot gam kein dinim. Says the Rambam, this is a significant point that I think people miss all the time. There are things that I count as mitzvot, but they're not really commandments. They're dinim, meaning we're neutral about being in the situation, but if you're in the situation, these are the rules. This week's parsha, kamo din eved ivri. What the Rambam is saying is, I count eved ivri as a mitzvah, but it's not because I want or the Torah wants you to have an eved ivri. It's a din. If you have an eved ivri, here are the rules that govern. Then, of course, the Rambam says another category of mitzvahs that only apply when there's a Beis HaMikdash. Okay, and then the category we think of as mitzvahs, umehem mitzvot mitchayvot l'chol ish behechreach b'chol zman uv'chol makom uv'eize inyan sheyihiyah. Then he says, there are obligatory, unconditional mitzvahs. Kigon tzitzis utfilin ushmiras shabbos. Right? No matter where you are, Beis HaMikdash, no Beis HaMikdash, wherever you are, these mitzvahs apply. V'nikra ha-mitzvot shehein mizeh ha-min ha-mitzvot ha-hechreichiyot. The Rambam says these are called obligatory mitzvahs. Okay, and then you have to do them. And now come to the last one. This is the fascinating part. He says, ukishit.
And hear you.
Resume recording.
Right, I don't know what happened. Okay. I don't know how long. I was having such a good time talking without being interrupted till I realized no one could hear me.
The meteorologist heard you dissed him.
Okay, what's the third paragraph? So basically, okay, the Rambam says that out of the 248, there are only 60 that apply to a person who leads a normal life. Oh, well, you can't read now, right? Because you don't have the sheet?
We have the sheets. We printed them.
Oh, okay. I'll try. I assume that's not true for everybody, but I'll do my best. Okay. So the Rambam says there are basically 60 that apply to each person in a regular life. And the whole reason I use this is to make the following point. And that is, the Rambam gives a list of the 60 mitzvot that apply to people every day, or most people during their lives, and he includes within it number 175, which is acharei rabim lahatot. So, you know, even though what we saw before seemed to say that the Rambam, you know, thinks it's a din in Beis Din, it turns out that at least in one place in the Rambam, it may not be a din in Beis Din, it may be a din in everyday life. That the way we follow halacha and the way we make decisions is based on majority. Okay. An even broader position, which again, I'm afraid people don't have it in front of them, is the Rush in source number 7, where the Rush says it may not even be limited to halacha. If the community decides something, if the community decides on attack, putting a person into chayrim, based on but there are other examples in the Rambam. If you have your, you won't read it, but source number 8. The Gemara talks about how Sancheirev, when he came and, you know, conquered the world, what he did was basically move everybody. Egyptians had to move to Syria, and Syrians had to move to Iraq, and Iraqis had to move to Iran. I'm making it up. But what that did was in halacha, it meant that we lost the tradition of who is who. So, for example, there are particular rules about, you know, lo yavo amoni b'kahal Hashem ad olam. If you're from Ammon and you're a male, you can't convert. You know, if you're a Mitzri, you have to wait till the fourth generation. If you're Amaleki, this or that. And the Rambam says, once Sancheirev moved everybody around to different parts of the world, what happened is the following. What happened is we lost our tradition for who is who. And if you don't have a tradition, what that's called the parish, Miruba parish. So that if you met a guy and you suspected him of being from Amalek, be able to kill him. Because on the fact, the rove is that he's not from Amalek. And the rove is that he's not from Amalek. And the rove is not from Moab. And therefore, we never reject converts of where they come from. Because the rove is a particular nation. And therefore, we accept converts from all nations. That's an application of the idea of rove. And now, let's go to the last point, which I always assumed was wholly unrelated. It's just, you know, I don't know, one of the top three most famous Gemaros. Everybody loves it because it's a great story. But it turns out it's based on what we've been discussing. It is in source number 9, the Gemara Bab Metzia Nuntes Amud Bet, which is the Tanur Shel Achnan. There was a machlokes about, with respect, whether it can be purified or not. The details don't matter. You'll recognize the story as soon as I start reading. Tana. Ba'oso hayom heishiv Rabbi Eliezer called Shubal Sheba Olam. On that day, you know, Rabbi Eliezer was on
Ellie, try turning off your video.
He knew everything, he answered every question. Can anybody hear me?
Try turning off your video.
I thought I did. Try again.
There you go. You got it.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
Hey, sorry about that. Now, Nathan, is this just I don't look good on the video? Okay, fine. Here comes the Gemara. So Rabbi Eliezer's on fire. He answers all the answers and the Chacham reject him. And now now this is the part you know. Amar lohem, im halacha kimosi, I'll try that way. Charuv ze yochia. If I'm right, this carob tree should prove that I'm right. Ne'akar charuv mi mekamo me'a ama. Right, the carob tree moves 100 amos. Pretty cool. Amru lo, Chachamim say to him, ein mevi'in ra'aya min ha'charuv. You can't prove anything from a carob tree. Great. Chazar va'omer lohem im halacha kimosi amas ha'mayim yochichu. If I'm right, let the stream prove that I'm right. Chazru amas ha'mayim la'achoreim. The stream immediately starts flowing backwards. Amru lo ein mevi in raya me'amas ha'mayim. Chacham say you can't prove anything from a stream. Chazar va'omer lohem im halacha kimosi kosle beis hamidrash yochichu. Let the walls prove it. And the Gemara describes the walls start caving in and Chachamim yell at the walls. And so the walls are a Pisa. They stay kind of slanted out of respect for both sides. Okay, these are pretty good proofs. But he's rejected. Chazav Amar Lahem, here it comes. Im halacha kimosi. If I'm right, says Rabbi Elazar, let Shamayim, let the heavens, you know, intervene on my behalf. Yatsa Sabaskova Amra, a voice from heaven comes out and says, What are you giving Rabbi Elazar a hard time? He's right. And then unbelievable, Chachamim say, Amad Rabbi Yoshua al raglav ve'amar lo bashamayim hi. Okay? It's not in heaven. Heaven doesn't get to decide halacha. And here it comes. Based on what? Ma'ai lo bashamayim hi. How do you know that's true? Rav Yirmiya, shekfar nitna Torah mehar Sinai. Once the Torah was given, ein anu mashgichin bevaskol. We don't have to listen to Shamayim. We don't have to listen to the baskol. Shekfar kasavta bahar Sinai batorah ar pasuk acharei rabim lehato. So this is obviously, you know, a super limud beyond anything we imagine. We thought, okay, acharei rabim lahatot means we paskin like the majority. But it turns out in the Gemara, acharei rabim lahatot is much more significant. It's a transference of control of halacha. It's a transference of control of halacha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Chazal, or to some extent to us, right? It's not just majority rules. It's that we now have the authority to override HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So just to make clear that I'm not exaggerating, the Gemara ends as follows. Usually we stop reading from the beginning. The Gemara says, Ashkichei Rav Nassan le'Eliyahu. Rav Nassan met Eliyahu HaNavi. Amar lei, my Ovid
we lost you again. We lost you.
Shaita, what was God doing at that fight between Rabbi Elazar and Chiyeh? I'm so sorry. Nothing?
Can we stop sharing screen?
We hear you now, Ali. Go ahead.
But you have to go back to Ashkechayu.
You can hear me? Huh?
Yes, we can hear you, but it's better if you don't show a screen. Okay. But you have to do the list.
Okay, I'm not doing
it. It was Henry's sharing screen, not Ellie.
Okay, it's Henry's fault.
Back to Ashkechayu. Okay.
Sorry.
So the Gemara at the end says as follows, right? They asked, Rav Nassan met Eliyahu HaNavi and said to him, what was God doing during this fight between Rabbi Elazar and Chachamim? And he answered as follows.
I guess we're not supposed to be learning this.
You tell Henry I want a refund.
Redo.
Hello?
This must be a sign from heaven that they don't...
That's what I said. These are fighting words, this line here.
Chavez.
Hey. All right. I did my best.
No, we hear you, Ali. We hear you clearly.
Now we do.
Oh, now you do? Okay, yeah. I don't know what's going on. I'm really trying. Anyway, I'll do it quickly. So the short answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu acknowledged the following fact, that Achrei Rabim Lahatos is not just some procedural way of resolving doubt. It's giving absolute unconditional control of our understanding of the Torah to human beings.
Man.
Now we'll say, you know, okay, it's Chazal, it's this or that, but it doesn't matter. It means that the idea is not simply that when we have a suffix, we can resolve it one way or the other. But when we resolve it, if we resolve it pursuant to the rule of Achrei Rabim Lahatos, I'll say it this way, we're right 100% of the time. Because that's what God paskin. God paskin Achrei Rabim Lahatos. And if that includes God, that includes anybody else. Moment in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us control of the Torah.
And so it's most in its most radical form, if in the Torah in Shamayim, it said that you're not allowed to use a timer on Shabbos, the halacha would still be that it's completely fine to use a timer on Shabbos, because we paskin against HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
So Ellie, why didn't the Bas Kol say Achrim Rabbi Mahatos instead of saying, what are you bothering Rabbi Eliezer for?
That's an excellent question. I've thought about that for a while. My best answer is, you know, the Bas Kol didn't know the halacha. No, but I'm serious. I know it sounds funny.
But like, it sharpens the contrast so much for the finale.
Right. Yeah, but I'm saying the Bas Kol was watching. He felt bad for Rabbi Eliezer. And so he told him the truth, which is in Shammai, Rabbi Eliezer is right. And then we said, we don't care. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, we're right for not caring. And so you have this situation where it's sort of the following. Rabbi Lichtenstein used to say this all the time. He used to say, I think it was Justice Potter who said about the Supreme Court, we're not final because we're right. We're right because we're final. Meaning, there's no place to appeal. So if the Supreme Court gives a ruling, by definition, they're correct because no one could ever disagree with them. As an aside, Rav Aaron used to say, we would like to believe both about Chazal, that they're final because they're right and they're right because they're final. Okay? But the short answer is that's where we are. So we started, I'll just go quick before we lose, you know, we lose each other again. You know, we start with a range of questions about whether Achrei Rabin Lahatos is procedural or substantive. I think in the end, the answer is it's both. It's what we use to resolve machlokasim. It's what we use to resolve factual doubts, whether it's, you know, the time it takes for women to give birth, the majority of animals, whether they're healthy or not, a plate of meat. We use it to resolve those. But what we really focused on is its role in halacha. And its role in halacha is narrowly to say that we always rule like the majority in a Beis Din, but broadly to say that we're supposed to generally rule like the majority. The chiddush was, it's not a din in being machriya halacha, it obligates each and every one of us. Each and every one of us is bound by a mitzvah saseh called acharei rabim lahatot. And any time we don't follow the rabim, we better take this into account. We better think about it. And we better be able to justify it. Then, of course, at the end, we saw this incredible, you know, Gemara that everybody had seen before. But the fact that that Gemara, too, is based on Acharei Rabim Lahatos is much more substantive. It means, in the end, that if, let's just say in an easy case, if all of Chachmei Yisrael said something, they would be right, even if some in some theoretical way, they were wrong. All right. Did my best. Really sorry. I have no idea what's happening with the technology, but everybody.
Ellie, can I ask you a question?